I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode number 136 of the Ridge Hunter Outdoors Podcast. This week, I'm going to be talking about some EHD stuff, as you guys saw from the title. But before we get into it, first of all, I want to say welcome to all the listeners on Carbon TV. If this is your first time tuning in, we love to have you back. I'm glad you're here, and hopefully you enjoy the show. This week is going to be a little bit different, again, if you're new to the show, because we like to try to have guests on, or at least I'll have someone else in here to talk to, whether it's Nate or Blake or Dad or any of the guys, Dusty, come in here and talk deer hunting or whatever, food plotting, things of that nature. But tonight is going to be just me. I had a guest scheduled for this week, and things just didn't work out. We had to end up canceling and rescheduling that. So we'll be back on a regular schedule next week. I was going to use this topic to do our full draw Friday for this week, but I figured I'd just wait and hold it for Monday since things got messed up with the scheduling. That said, I am in the process of backdating or backlogging our episodes to Carbon TV. So I'm at least going to have the ones with the guests available on Carbon TV right now, and then anything we do going forward from this episode will go on there as well. Same thing with the Full Draw Fridays, except I'm not backlogging any of the Full Draw Fridays. I'm just going to go anything from now on, now that we're on there, is going to be uploaded. If you guys are new listening, if you're listening on Carbon, you can go check us out on our other channels, basically anywhere you can get podcasts, including YouTube, if you want to listen to any of our other episodes that may not be available on Carbon at this time. So make sure you go check that out. And anywhere you do listen, we appreciate it if you guys would follow us, leave us a review. That really helps us out a bunch. Like, subscribe, all that kind of stuff. So again, welcome to the Ridge Hunter Outdoors Podcast. Those that this is their first time, thanks for tuning in, and hopefully you'll enjoy it. Hopefully you'll keep coming back. And go listen to our other episodes as well. We've had a ton of great guests on, and we look to keep doing that in the future, giving you guys some good people to listen to so you don't have to listen to me all the time like you will this week. Also, don't forget the Big Buck Contest is open again this year. We're doing it for the fourth year. This is the fourth annual one, the Ridge Hunter Outdoors Big Buck Contest. It is $30 for entry. You can find that on the website, ridgehunteroutdoors.com. Go to Big Buck Contest. All you got to do, read the rules, hit that you accept the terms, whatever. It'll ask you for like a shipping address and a name and what size t-shirt, because with that $30, you will automatically get a Big Buck Contest t-shirt at the end of the season. You'll also be entered into two raffles that we're going to do this year. The first one will be for a Tacticam Reveal 2.0, and then the second one will be another backpack day pack, like similar to what we did last year. And then the grand prize for the Big Buck at the end of the year is a Savage 220. So if you win the biggest buck, you can win that Savage 220, and then if you get lucky, you can win a raffle as well. And you get entered in that raffle just for registering for the contest, so you don't have to shoot a buck to be have a chance at winning one of those awesome prizes. So if you guys would, if you're interested, go over to the website and sign up for that. It's going to be open, I believe, through October 4th. It's the first Friday, I think, of the season is when I've shut it off. So because you have to have your buck before you get registered. I don't want people out there shooting a big buck and then coming back and registering afterwards. That wouldn't be fair to the people who pre-registered. So make sure you get on that if you want in the contest. I think that's all I got for announcements or updates for this week. So let's get into it. EHD update here for Illinois on episode number 136. This is the Ridge Hunter Outdoors Podcast. All right, so like I said, I was going to use this for a full draw Friday, and I think it would have been well served for that because it's going to be a little bit shorter episode. Usually, you know, we shoot for about an hour, give or take 45 minutes to an hour and a half. But since it's just me, I don't want to bore you guys to death. But this is a good topic, and we've been getting a lot of questions about it, and we always do. It's the EHD topic, and it always kind of surrounds the deer hunting world throughout the Midwest for sure, and really anywhere in the whitetail range when we get to this late summer period, and especially the last few years as dry as it's been. So quick, if you guys don't know, I always forget what the E stands for, but it's hemorrhagic disease, is the HD. What happens is a little midge fly that they nest in these watering holes where it's real muddy on those dry years. It kind of creates that muddy, big muddy edge to these watering holes, and that's really nurtures these midge flies, and they bite the deer. They bite buck's antlers when they're in velvet, so that's why they think it affects bucks more predominantly than it does does and even bigger bucks, because they have more surface area where these flies can bite them. And basically, it cooks them from the inside out. They burn up. They can't get enough water. That's why a lot of times when you do find them dead, they are dead in the water or near the water. So just because there's a deer dead next to water doesn't mean he had EHD. And just because a deer didn't die by the water doesn't mean he didn't have EHD or it didn't have EHD either. But those two do go hand in hand a lot of times. And that's kind of just a little bit of what EHD is if you're not familiar. But I'm guessing, especially if you tuned into this episode based on the title, you are familiar with EHD. Our partners at Flambeau Outdoors have some of the best solutions in the industry for your decoy and storage needs. They're focused on innovation that matters, and they build their products to last. They're probably most known for their whitetail, waterfowl, and turkey decoys, and that's for good reason. They've got a lot of quality options at great price points in each category. The Boss Buck is a personal favorite of mine in their whitetail line, and I've been throwing their Stormfront mallards in front of duck blinds for years now. Don't sleep on their storage solutions either, though. Whether it's fishing tackle, firearms, ammo, or archery equipment, they've got you covered. They just stepped up their archery storage game, too, with the new Formula Bow Case. It might just be the best bow case on the market, and I'm really excited to use it this season and for years to come. Make the most of your time outdoors with Flambeau. Realism that gets results. If CWD is like the boogeyman to the deer hunting world, and I say that because it's not make-believe, and I don't want to get into that topic right now. We've hit it before, and we'll talk about it again, I'm sure. But everybody kind of has their opinions on CWD and the effects of it, the long-term effects and all that stuff. EHD is like, it's also something similar to that that people really fear, but I think it maybe holds a little bit more water than the fear that comes with CWD. So I don't know what that would be if you call CWD the boogeyman. I don't know what you'd call EHD, but it's definitely a fear that people have if they're trying to manage deer herds. Even if you're just hunting public ground, just because if it does hit hard, you may not see that many deer. I mean, it can definitely wipe out a deer herd. But ultimately, kind of the down and dirty on it is it happens every year. And some people think maybe that it only happens on certain years, and on those years, it happens everywhere and it kills all the deer. That's just not the truth. Even on, you know, decent years where we have rain throughout the summer, there will still be some EHD that hits in different parts throughout the Midwest, throughout the whitetail range. It doesn't have to be just on a drought year. It just becomes more prevalent on a drought year because those conditions support those midge flies that ultimately cause the disease to be transferred to the deer. So especially a year like this, a year like last year, and a year like the year before, where it really dried up. This year we had a pretty wet spring and summer, which I think was a help. The last 2 years, wet springs, and then summertime hit, and it just dried up all the way through most of the fall. And I'm surprised we didn't see more widespread EHD than we did. But this year, again, it's been dry. We're finally getting some rain now. But it has been dry, and again, every year at this time, people have concerns over this because it's something you see on social media, people talking about a lot. If your trail cameras are slow or something, you might get concerned about it just because it has been hot and dry. But it does happen every year. And some years are obviously worse than others. I mean, you can look at 2012, for example. That was probably, I think maybe 2007 was another year where it was really bad widespread. And those years are the 2 years where it's been really bad and it's been really widespread. I know that doesn't really matter to you if you're the guy whose farm it hits, because it's going to hurt your deer herd and it could potentially wipe out your age class in your bucks and really decimate your herd structure. But you can take some solace in the fact that the two worst years were the worst years because that's when it just happened to be widespread. So most of the time, it's not going to be just because your neighbor has it, even doesn't mean you're going to be hit with it. You could have a farm that gets decimated 2 miles down the road and your farm could be totally fine. Your deer could be good. So it's always spotty. There definitely are some years that are worse than others. And because of that, I mean, there is legit concern with it. And again, it goes back to that. If you're the guy whose farm it hits, you don't care how spotty it is. It hurt you and it hurts your deer herd or the deer herd that's in your area. So, I mean, it's definitely something to legitimately be concerned about. And another reason for that is there's not a whole lot we can do with it. There are some products out there that people claim will help with it. I don't know the efficacy of those or how good they really are. I mean, you can try them and let me know. Personally, I've not tried any of them. You can definitely go in and dig some deep water holes. And if you do it in the springtime or even the wintertime where they can fill up in the spring, maybe that could help give those deer some place to go and get water where they don't have to mess with all that muddy nastiness where those flies tend to live. That's something else you can do about it. I do feel like in places where you can give the deer supplemental feed and minerals, the healthier you can keep them, the better off you're going to be. So if you're doing that throughout the late winter when there's not a lot around, you're definitely going to benefit them because an overall a deer that has more of those minerals and more of that food than the ones that don't, I mean, during that time of year especially, they're going to be better off. They're going to be healthier overall, so they're going to have a better immune system. And that's another thing with EHD is it's not a death sentence for these deer. They can get it, and I'm going to hit on this a little bit later. They can get it and live through it, as a matter of fact, and then they have some immunity to it, and they start to build herd immunity. As a matter of fact, in the South, they see that a lot because it happens, you know, pretty much it happens more widespread every year in the South just because it does get so dry, but they're starting to see deer build up more of an immune system to it so they don't get wiped out like they would on a bad year like 2012 up here where we're at, where we don't have it nearly as common, as widespread at least, right? So just because they have it, again, doesn't mean they're going to die. So if you see some deer that are looking sick, yes, it might end up killing them, but then again, it might not too. But back to the concern thing, I mean, definitely legitimate, and part of that is, of course, because there's not a lot we can do about it, and we like to be in control of stuff, and I understand that, and you want to be in control of it. It's just difficult because there's not been a ton of research with it. I would think some of the money that's going to those efforts will hopefully go into more research and figuring out what exactly happens with those deer and maybe what we can do for them. But that will hopefully come down the road. It's just not here yet. All that stuff said, you know, this year's not any different than in the past, really. You're going to have places where you're going to see more deer dead from it than others. I haven't heard of it personally here, just where we're at in southern Illinois. I've heard of some cases of it, but not really widespread yet. I haven't noticed anything. When I was out setting stands, running trail cameras early September, I checked all the creeks that I could, the ditches and the ponds and stuff. I didn't find anything on any of the farms I hunt. I know there's been a few guys that have seen some of that, but it's not been real widespread and it's not been a ton of deer yet. So that's kind of where we're at with it right now. I think it's going to be just a similar year to any other year where some guys are going to see it and some guys aren't. If you guys plant food plots and you don't know who Grandpa Ray Outdoors is, you need to look him up. They specialize in providing the best nutrition for whitetail deer on your property, starting with the soil. They've got a full line of high-quality food plot seed and plant foods with over 14 different food plot blends to choose from. You won't have any trouble finding what you're looking for. They've got fall and spring blends, corn and beans, switchgrass, liquid fertilizer, soil test kits, you name it. When it comes to planting, they've got it. They're not just about selling their products, though. They were started in 2015. John, the owner, has been in the business since 1991. So with that knowledge that he's acquired, he's going to be able to answer any questions you have about what blends would be best for your specific property. That way you can achieve the best results possible. Like us, John and his team don't believe in a cookie-cutter approach to wildlife nutrition. They're going to treat you and your situation individually. We've used tons of their seed on client properties, on our own properties, and the results have always been as good, if not better, than advertised. That's why we partnered with them in the first place. If you want to, go to GrandpaRayOutdoors.com, use the discount code RHOPODCAST, that's all lowercase, no space, and you get 5% off your entire order there. You guys need to go check them out if you care about getting the most bang for your buck when it comes to your food plots. A lot of guys are worried about it, and I've had some people reach out to me, maybe because trail cameras are slow, or just because it has been so dry, they're asking about EHD, and have you seen it hitting, have you heard about it widespread, or have you heard about a bunch of deer dead? And to answer that, no, I really haven't. That's what I've kind of been telling everybody. Same thing, you know, you can have it down the road and not at your farm. So just because what I'm seeing is maybe more a little more positive doesn't mean the guy down the road isn't seeing a whole bunch of them and his world's coming to an end. But I haven't heard a lot of that either. Definitely have heard about some cases. But, you know, even you could see quite a few deer dead or hear about quite a few deer dead. I mean, up to a pretty good number. And when you get to think about how many deer there are and how big the herd actually is, it may seem like a big number, but really it's probably not. Deer die natural causes in big numbers every year, whether it's winter or predators or lack of food or just getting sick from anything else in the wild trying to kill them, getting hit by cars. I mean, deer wind up dead for a ton of different reasons. So this is just one other thing they have to compete with. One reason that you might be having those slower trail cameras, though, that might not be EHD related is think about your crop rotation. So if you had a bunch of pictures last year and you had beans out on your property, like early season or late summer, you had a lot of pictures, and now this year it's corn, that could be a lot of reason why. Number one, they might be hiding in the corn. Number two, while those beans are green, that's where they're going to want to be. So if you had them close and you were on the right travel corridor, you may have just been seeing more bucks. Now, if the crops have rotated and you've got corn and your neighbors have beans, they might be getting all the pictures of those bucks this year. So definitely talk to your neighbors too if you guys get along, and that's obviously the best case scenario. Doesn't work for everybody, I understand that. But if you can, talk to them and find out what they're seeing, because just because your camera's slow, maybe they're still seeing the bucks. And that can at least bring you a little bit of peace of mind when it comes to worrying about whether your herd's been hit by EHD or whether all your deer are dead or not. Another thing is just the hot weather in general is going to subdue movement, even in the summertime. There's a reason bucks like to live in different places in the summer that are cooler versus having that thermal cover and more early successional growth, higher stem count places in the fall when it's colder because they want to be a little less wind, a little warmer, or they want stuff to rub their antlers on and whatnot. They go to those places that are cooler in summertime because they, just like us, don't like being hot. And especially when you're talking 90 degrees in September, because they're starting to put on their winter coat. Their fur is definitely thickening up. When they shed that velvet, their testosterone's going up, so they got different hormones going on. They're kind of wanting to move farther, but still, when it gets that hot, they'll just lay up in the shade somewhere, or maybe if they're in a creek bottom or a river bottom or something, get somewhere in tall grass where the wind can still get to them, or they close to a watering hole, something like that. They're just not going to move far when it's hot. They're just like us. I mean, you go outside, if you put a jacket on and walk outside and it's 90 degrees, you're not going to want to do much. Now think about having their fur coat on, their winter coat on, and trying to go outside in September when it's 90, 95 degrees. You're probably not going to get a lot of pictures of them just because they're not moving a bunch. You're probably not seeing them out in those bean fields as early because they're waiting to do it at night because that's when it's getting cooler. If it's 70 degrees at night, 90 degrees in the daytime, they're going to be doing a lot more feeding at night. So the hot weather can have a lot to do with why you're not seeing the same amount of deer on your cameras or even in person or hearing about as many deer being out and about. Could just be that they're not feeling this warm weather. And that should change here coming up too, at least where we're at. I think probably throughout a lot of the Midwest as this front kind of moves through, it should be highs in the 70s here. Moving forwards at least out to the 10-day forecast, so that'll be good. Maybe we'll start seeing some more deer move. And this rain's going to help also. I mean, the dry, them not having as much moisture in what they're eating, not having all those available water holes, that's going to obviously make them not feel as well either. And that's kind of the last point I wanted to make on that is even if they're not dead, so maybe they did get hit with EHD, but it's one of those deer that they're not dying from it. Or even if it's not EHD, it's just been so dry and so hot that the deer, for lack of a better term, are sick, they're just not going to move as much. And I feel like we saw that a little bit last year. And even with my taxidermy stuff, a lot of the capes and things that we got this year, based on some things I saw with those, I just don't think the deer were incredibly healthy last year. And a lot of that had to do with the extended drought. And last year, even more so than this year, because it did dry up so early. So stuff started dying early on in the summer, and the vegetation just wasn't there for the browse, so they didn't even have as much available throughout the summertime as they normally would. And then as it prolonged, the drought prolonged, and it dried up, and they didn't have as much water as normal. They weren't getting as many nutrients as they normally would. I just don't think they they did that well last year health-wise. We had a good acorn crop also. So if you combine that with what was going on everywhere else with the drought and all that, I think they just weren't moving much. They were staying back in the timber, eating acorns when they were falling. They were trying to stay cool. They were finding places where there was vegetation. And we could be seeing some of that this year. Again, I don't think it's going to be quite as bad because we have had the water throughout this most of the summer till about August. I mean, we did pretty good, and it got pretty dry there in August after about the first week or so. I mean, I don't remember exactly, but we're getting some more rain now too, and I think it's well-timed. Obviously, we could have used it a little earlier, but better late than never. If you guys are looking for your own piece of ground to manage and hunt, Rodney Hawkins is a guy you need to talk to. He grew up hunting and fishing in Southern Illinois, and he's now putting that love for the outdoors into selling recreational properties as a land specialist with Midwest Farm and Land. Midwest Farm and Land isn't your average real estate company. They do residential properties, but they also do a ton of recreational property sales as well. Rodney himself sold over $7 million worth of properties last year alone. They've got agents like him all over Illinois, so they're really a local company with a national reach. For more info on them, what might be available, or even getting your property listed if you're looking to get rid of one and maybe get into something else, you can contact Rodney directly at 618-925-3153, and he'll get you taken care of. He's also got his own company called RG Outdoors that currently has products from Radix Hunting, Tacticam Trail Cameras, Camo Dust, and he's adding new stuff all the time. So if you're interested in any of that, go over to their Facebook page, RG Outdoors. Email them at rgoutdoors@yahoo.com. Or again, just call Rodney directly at 618-925-3153. However, that window where it did dry up, those deer might have just not been feeling good. Maybe not just because they have their winter coat on, but they went that long without a good rain and good, you know, fresh water wherever they were at or whatever the case may have been. They might have just been a little bit sick and not wanting to move as much. So I think that contributed last year a lot to not seeing as many deer on stand. At least for me, it did, I think. And hopefully that's not the case this year, and I don't think it will be, but it could have been the case here in the last few weeks as far as trail camera goes. And if you're doing any sitting on field scouting, if you're not seeing that many deer, I think that definitely could have played a role as well. So kind of just to summarize the update for everybody who's interested, especially at least here in Southern Illinois, from what I've heard from the people I've talked to, it's not been that widespread yet. There definitely have been some people who are reporting cases of it. You're going to have that every year. Every year, it's going to get blown out of proportion on social media. Will there be a time where we have another year like 2012? Absolutely could be. Could it happen this year still? Sure, I could be telling you guys this stuff. We could turn around in 3 weeks and all the deer could be dead if it just stays dry or if it's already got them. Because, you know, some of these deer too, if they have it, they may not die till later in the year. I mean, some of those bad years, you have deer dying all the way up to November, December. So you're not out of the water just because you make it to the fall. However, it does tend to get blown out of proportion on social media because it's just like during the season when you see all these pictures of these giant bucks being killed and you think, man, everybody's killing big bucks but me, or there's big bucks being killed all over. That's not necessarily the case. It's just that you're seeing the ones that have been killed because that's all over your social media feed because it's curated for that kind of stuff. Same thing with the EHD. Just because you're seeing social media posts about it, just because you're seeing guys asking about it, doesn't mean it's happening all over. You're just seeing the cases that are happening. You have to keep in mind the bigger picture. Again, caveat to that, things could change. We could see it where we're at. We could see it bad. I just haven't to this point. So hopefully that brings some peace of mind to you guys. Still get out there and get after them. You're not going to know, especially till you get out there and hunt. If you get out there and hunt this fall and you don't see any deer and maybe you're walking the property and you find some dead, then you'll know you had it. Worst case scenario, I heard this said, it was somebody else talking about Mark Drury, what he said one time. He said he finally figured out what they do when they have EHD. And the guy said, well, what's that? And he said, or when the EHD wipes out their age class and their 5 and 6 year old bucks, and the guy said, well, what do you do then? He said, we shoot 4 year olds. So there's always options for you guys. I mean, if it wipes out all your 4 and 5 year olds, you want to fill a tag, shoot a 3 year old. I mean, it's not life or death for us. Even if we do have a horrible year like 2012, of course, it's going to take 4 or 5 years to make a 4 year or 5 year old buck, but you can still get out there and hunt, you can still enjoy it. Still be blessed to have the opportunity to do it. Even after those bad years that we had, we still saw more deer where we're at, still had more opportunity at mature bucks than some people do on a best year in parts of Michigan and Pennsylvania and even Ohio, even places in deep southern Illinois, you know, if you're in the right place, even if you're not, just, you know, be blessed to be able to get out there and get after them. Don't make yourself sick worrying about EHD and whether all your deer have died or not. Again, there's not much you can do about it either way. Get out there and hunt them. Make the most of it, even if you do get hit with it. Come up with a plan to maybe help your deer for the next year and start building that herd back up again. You can figure your buck-to-doe ratio. Maybe you got to kill more does now because your buck numbers have been down. Maybe you want to leave some does because all your deer numbers are down and you want them having fawns coming up next spring. All that stuff you can kind of do after the fact. But don't worry yourself sick over it. I know it does suck when it hits. And when you got a bunch of deer, especially your mature bucks that you wanted to hunt, when you got them dead, especially if you're paying for lease ground or you're paying to put in food plots and all this money you got invested and time you got invested into hunting, just remember, it's not life or death for us. It ain't worth making yourself sick about. And ultimately, this year so far, I haven't heard anything that would warrant you doing that anyway. So hopefully that helps you guys. Again, to the new listeners, this one's a little bit different. We normally go for 45 minutes or an hour and a half. We normally have a guest on or some other guys in studio. We talk about different topics. But stay tuned for next week. I think you guys are going to enjoy it. We've got one of our fan favorite guests coming back. Yes, a returning guest for you guys. I know it's going to be a good one. I look forward to bringing that to you. And before that, we'll have a Full Draw Friday out. It'll be the last off-season Full Draw Friday for us in Illinois. I know you guys out in Missouri and Kentucky have already started hunting. Hopefully you guys have got one on the ground. If you do, send it to us. We'd love to see it. If you haven't, good luck. If you're going out sometime this week or before we do another podcast, and then we'll have our last two off-season episodes coming up before we get started here in Illinois with our October 1st opener. So we will catch you guys on the next one. Thanks for listening.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com.